What's good, y'all? For first-time listeners, welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock. And for those who've tuned in before, welcome back. Last week, we took a trip to Creative Sounds Recording Studios in the heart of LA to speak to Brandon Brown, Vice President of A&R at Interscope Records. Brown, a native of Compton, California, a city with a rich hip-hop history, recalls seeing Eazy-E drive down the street, growing up a half a mile away from where Straight Outta Compton was recorded, and learning what an A&R was through the popular hip-hop magazines of the time. Later, Brown went into detail about what exactly an A&R is, the steps he took to become one, and much more. Thanks again to Brandon, affectionately known as Hop, for coming through. Thank you to Pusher Rod for allowing Words Matter Pod to use Creative Sounds to record this interview. Thank you to Dominique Wright from Spin Lab Communications for overseeing this interview. And last but not least, thank you to my wifey Danielle for connecting me and Brandon. Please rate, like, subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And don't forget that words matter. Welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock, a podcast dedicated to storytellers. I'm here with Vice President of A&R Interscope Records, Brandon Brown. How are you?
I'm well, yourself.
I'm good, man. I'm here, happy to be here in this beautiful studio. Creative Sounds Recording, yeah, definitely. I wasn't sure if I could disclose where he was at.
It's all good.
So, who are you?
Brandon Brown. Known as Hop as well, my A&R at Interscope Records. I'm a son, brother, and friend of many.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about your journey, like, you know, where are you from and how you even got to this point.
Okay. I'm from Compton, grew up in the Long Beach, Lakewood area. Interning is how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I started my internship from Cal State Long Beach. A classmate of mine plugged me with someone, got an interview, and I've been in that Interscope building ever since.
Yeah.
Whether I was interning, temping, just pulling up, in between time just to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And it eventually led to me getting an internship.
So you took, the more traditional path of being an A&R, because you always hear about getting these internships and, you got to intern. Anytime somebody says they want to work in the music business, somebody always says you got to become an intern. So how easy is that path, or how difficult is that path?
I wouldn't say getting an internship is too difficult. You just apply. Really who you know helps too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just applied for the internship from someone I barely knew in one of my classes, and I got the internship.
Yeah.
And then for me getting my internship, I just hustled. I started off in under Luke Wood, who was a former A&R at Interscope. I started off with him. Went from Luke Wood, then I went to marketing with Alex Reese, who's still with Interscope. And then from Alex Reese, I ended up getting cool with the A&Rs there in the urban department. And when my internship ended in marketing, A&R took me over.
Yeah.
And I just hustled from there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the building knew my name, because when I wasn't doing something for my specific department, I made it a point to hit other departments, introduce myself, and see if I could help.
You think that hustle could be taught because no one really knows. You don't really go to school. You can go to school and take music business related programs, but no one really teaches you how to make it in the business, per se. So what inside you says, all right, I'm gonna do these little things that is gonna get me noticed by people and, build a good relationship or build a good reputation in this building.
Well, it's funny you said that. So they didn't really offer music business courses until literally the semester after I graduated.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what the hell? But I don't think hustle can really be taught. It's either it's in you or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want opportunities to just fall out the sky. And I feel like other people put themselves in position to get opportunities.
Yeah. And where does that come from, that hustle?
Just knowing what you want. From a young age, I knew I wanted to be, an A&R. Even when I didn't know what an A&R was,
mm-hmm.
I just knew I wanted to be the guy in the studio helping artists and producers make songs and just make stuff happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where that came from.
And, you know, you say you're from Compton, mm-hmm. and Compton has a rich history, a rich musical history. You know, so many artists, too many artists to name come from Compton. So did that influence, like, you wanting to work in the music business?
Nah, definitely. Like, I literally grew up a half a mile down the street from where N.W.A. recorded their first album.
Yeah.
Like, seeing Eazy-E drive down the street in a Mercedes or a lowrider, like, was not uncommon
mm-hmm.
on the street. So, definitely. And then as I got older, you know, the Death Row era was definitely influential.
Mm-hmm. What about rapping, though? Why take a or pursue a behind-the-scenes role and not, you know, in front of the camera, rapping role?
That's just not me. Like, yeah. I'm not the center of attention type of guy. Like, I always wanted to be in the background. Mm-hmm. So once I actually found out there was a role to be, you know, influential on the music and you can stay in the background, like, once I found that, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. How did you find that? Like, how did you find about, you know, how did you find out about being an A&R?
Okay, so like I said, I didn't know that an A&R existed. When I was a kid, I think it was a Source magazine or Double XL magazine that had the 30 or 40 power positions in hip-hop. So, you know, back when 7-Eleven used to sell magazines, I snagged that, went home, read that thing cover to cover, and then I found A&R, and I was just like, all right, that's what I want to do. So I kind of just set my intention on that, and then that's when I bumped into that classmate, and, you know,
yeah,
things kind of just aligned.
And, you know, I think if anybody follows music to a certain extent, you know, if you're a big fan, I think you know what an A&R is or you heard the term, but I don't think too many people know what those two letters mean. Like, what do those two letters mean?
A&R stands for artist and repertoire.
And explain that job title.
Okay, artist and repertoire to most is a talent scout or the people that find, you know, artists and producers and, you know, try to get them signed to the label.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to Compton as well. You know, like, you talk about Eazy-E, seeing him drive down the street, lowrider, and, you know, growing up down the street from where, you know, straight out of Compton was recorded. What were you listening to?
Ah, man. What was I listening to as a kid? Shit, N.W.A., Doggy Style. I'm not proud to admit this, but, you know, when the box was a thing, I used to order the Deion Sanders video. Must be the money. I was a Criss Cross fan. I listened to R&B, SWV, M. Vogue, like just stuff my parents played. Because, like, I had young parents, you know, mm-hmm. teenage parents, so stuff they were listening to.
Mm-hmm. You think if your parents were older, you'd be working the job that you work right now?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even listening to the music that you listen to?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not, because, like, you know, those were my first influences. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, do you always find yourself explaining your job to people? You know, because everybody in the music business knows what an A&R is, but it's like you tell a person, like, that's not in the industry, what's an A&R, like, How do you go about explaining yourself?
Man, I mean, for the most part, social media, you know, and then, you know, A&Rs are, like, more front-facing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think they know what we do, but they really only know just a small part. So, like, they just think we just find artists and, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, once I got hired and I had to figure out, like, oh, I have to do, like, paperwork and I got to negotiate all it, help negotiate this and that. Like, whoa, like, man, like, I wish I just only had the
phone. Yeah.
Just finding X, but that's just one part of it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, helping, you know, get albums finished, helping, you know, find producers to help find finish albums, songwriters, helping features get closed out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You like, damn, I got to do real work.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it looks glamorous, and it is. But, you know, it's definitely hard work, too, though. Definitely hard work.
Mm-hmm. So you're almost like a liaison in a way, because you work for the record label, right?
Exactly.
So you're you know, liaison between the artists and the label.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm.
But do artists ever look at you like you a op almost? Like, damn, you work for the label. Like, you know, I can't do certain things or say certain things. You're going to go report back to the label.
In my experience, no.
Yeah.
Nah, I would like to think all of my artists like me.
Yeah.
You know? But I think I have a pretty good rapport with all of my artists.
Mm-hmm. You say, you know, you said hustle. Like, what other traits do you think you would need to become an A&R?
Grit.
Grit, yeah.
Persistence. Like, I got told no for a long time. Not even necessarily no, just certain opportunities that came about just, you know, didn't always land in my favor. So I had to hustle and, you know, just do certain things to keep myself around music for myself to get recognized for opportunities. Like, after my internship, I didn't initially get a job at Interscope. So that led me to being a studio runner for 50 Cent during his last album with Interscope. So I did that for like a month, got cool with his camp, and eventually ended up being like an extra driver for him for like a year and a half.
Tell us about that, you know, what was going on when, did you ever expect to be doing something like that?
I didn't, but I just took that situation as an opportunity to stay around and just be around people. And like, oh, they go Brandon work with 50 now? Like,
yeah.
You know, so, and that helped, you know? Like, people just see me like, oh, like, I see you, bro. Like, I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, but like I said, it just kept me around for people to see me doing something.
Was this like before the days of Instagram?
Nah, it was, Instagram was a thing.
Early days?
I didn't have Instagram at the time. Because I had a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
So that's when Instagram was just on iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I asked because, you know, you could have just took pictures of 50's car and, you know, have everybody thinking that you.
I got a couple.
So, you know, what are, like, because you're not always working. I mean, how many artists would be on your roster, like, on a, you know, regular basis?
Right now I got like 16.
16.
Mm-hmm. Not all active at the same time, but
yeah. 16. How many are usually active at one time?
It varies. Like right now I probably got like 6, 7.
Yeah. And you got to really keep up with like everything they're doing, all the songs that they're making, all their recording process.
Definitely, like recording, traveling, what songs are done, files, all type of stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah. How hard is that?
It's pretty difficult. It keeps me up late night sometimes.
Just yeah.
Staying on top of everything.
Mm-hmm. Do any artists ever feel like they're left out? You know, you're paying more attention to one and more than the other?
You know what? That's another reason why I stay up late nights, because I try to stay involved and around all of my artists, are in communication with them at the very least, so nobody feels less than the other.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the difference between a VP of A&R and, you know, somebody who's just an A&R? Like, you know, because it seems like you do a lot of work that maybe, like, a typical vice president in another field, you know, isn't doing.
I don't know, honestly.
You're pretty hands-on.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just hands-on. Yeah. I'm just hands-on.
Is that by choice or just what, you know, which required of you?
This is what I'm most comfortable with.
Yeah.
Just knowing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. What is the best part of your job?
The best part of my job, I would say just being a fan of music, just being around artists and getting to hear stuff early.
Yeah.
And traveling.
Do your experiences in this industry make you less of a fan at times?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. Not at all.
Why? Like,
because I still just like to see myself as a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So just because I'm close to the music, I don't, like, it don't make me better than nobody.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just a regular person. I just happen to work in the music industry.
Do you do you think you have a good balance of being a creative person and while being a administrative person?
Definitely.
Yeah. What do you think do you lean more towards though?
I feel like I'm pretty good at both.
Yeah.
Like I can make sure we make our deadline and I can also help, you know, finish the song.
Yeah. Are you ever like you ever got writing credits, you know? Like you tell the artist maybe you should say this like this or maybe you shouldn't say this, you know?
Not yet.
Yeah.
The songs that I've have that input on just yet, they haven't came out yet, so we haven't had to cross that bridge.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, because you talk about how old are you?
I'm 37.
37. All right, so, you know, you're probably older than a lot of the artists that you work with, you know?
I'm older than all of them.
All of them, right? So, you know, and at this point, it's a different generation. Like, you know, you're a millennial. Like, you working with these Gen Z artists. They grew up listening to different things. The music they make is completely different than the music you grew up listening to.
Absolutely.
So how important is it to, just like how they evolved and music evolved, how important is it for you to evolve with the music?
It's equally important. Like, I can't be around them with, you know, only my old influence.
Yeah.
You know, I have to, you know, take a page out of what they're doing to have valuable input on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. How do you stay open-minded, though?
Listening to what they listen to.
Yeah.
You know, listening to what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. You feel like this is a thankless job in a way? Because, you know, you do so much, but you're still behind the scenes, but at the same time, you like being, you don't like being the center of attention.
I really don't. Sometimes it can be, sometimes it can't.
Yeah.
So it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, like not, because like, all right, you know, you got to stay open-minded, you know, you're older than these artists.
Definitely.
But do you ever try to bring in or try to encourage them to incorporate some things from like the music that you listen to?
Not necessarily, because I feel like times have changed. So
yeah.
Like me giving them influences on like something that I thought was dope from like Doggy Style.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to necessarily transition to what they doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's certain elements that I might pull from the past. Like, oh, you know, skits are cool. Like, you know, just like little certain things like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that skits are something that's missing in the music. You know, mm-hmm. like people you make whatever music is natural to you, but I think like that definitely helps, like expound on the narrative of the album.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of just being fed like 15 songs.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, a skit here and there can kind of just give more context to what you know, the artist is trying to get across.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why. You know, why is that the case? You know, why? How come like the disappearance of the skit in hip hop.
I don't know. We should dig into that.
Yeah. You think you look at music from a more capitalistic perspective or from a creative perspective?
I want to say creative.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things that, whether I'm looking for artists or just the stuff that my artists do that I work with, is like, it just got to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can figure out the capitalist and the money part later. Like, does it sound good?
Yeah. What makes a hit?
Ah, man. You know, it's not one recipe for it, but, you know, I just feel like a hit, as Pharrell would say, what did he say? It should be undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It'll find its people.
Yeah. But do you think there's like a, because how do you know, there's so many different sounds, so many different artists every day, you know, especially now everybody's You can submit your own music yourself. There's no gatekeepers.
True.
So it's like, how do we know what's a hit? Like, there's no, what's the, like, current sound that's popular? There's so many different sounds that's popular.
So many, but I mean, you know, in general, I just feel like a hit is something a 5-year-old to a 50-year-old would know. You know,
mm-hmm.
Everybody knows rhythm and melody.
Yeah.
Hooks are catchy, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, like, some of the artists that you've worked with thus far. Like, you know, who have you worked with?
I currently work with, like, Playboi Carti, Ken Carson, Destroy Lonely, Pierre Bourne, Blockboy JB. I now work with DaBaby.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of new artists I got, K Cartier, Fortunate. There's so many to name.
Yeah. You ever, you don't have to name any names, but you ever work with an artist whose music you don't like, but you know it'll be successful?
Nah, not yet. I haven't had to deal with that yet.
Yeah. But is that a thing that you think A&Rs deal with?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And what's the favorite project that you've worked on thus far?
Damn, man. So that's like asking what's my favorite kid. I really can't say that I have a favorite project. I love them all. I love them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the, you know, so many moments happen in the studio, but what is that? Could you, like, pinpoint or verbalize a moment in the studio that, like, lets you know, like, all right, like, this is the one. Like, how does that feel? Like, could you verbalize that feeling?
Man, is
or this album is a classic.
I like to stay away from the word classic.
Yeah.
Because you can't really define a classic in the moment. You know, I just feel like certain things feel good. And if they feel good a couple years from now, then we can start to entertain the classic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, I would say Playboi Carti, Whole Lotta Red.
Yeah.
Because he went like a whole different direction with that album. So it was just like, when the sound started to change, I was just like, okay, I think this is special. And then when it came out, it wasn't like received initially.
Yeah.
With the love that I thought it would get. But once he started performing it, then people started to get it. So, like, that was dope.
I definitely see, though, a lot of, like, fans, a lot of people in his fan base, or a lot of people that like music that sounds like his, they talk about that album a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about that album you think resonates with people so much?
Because it's just it's different from his previous offerings. Like, it's just totally left sonically.
Mm-hmm.
From what people are used to from him, and then the creative of it, like his stage presence just changed. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like he's evolving before our eyes as well, too.
Yeah. Are you a part of? Because I think about, like, first time I ever heard of A&R was Puff. You know, like Puff. I think he's like almost the model of what an A&R can become, you know?
Definitely.
And it's like, he was so hands-on with Jodeci's career and Mary's career and, like, the things that they were wearing, you know, all of them wearing similar clothes, but at the same time, each item of clothing they were wearing was different. Mm-hmm. You know, they all had on, like, the same shoe. They had all the Tims, the leather. It's like, are you a part of those things, too? Like, the presentation of the artist?
Not so much with, like, the... Like, Carti was Carti before I got involved.
Yeah.
So it's like, with Carti, you get in where you fit in as far as, like, you know, adding to his creative and whatever he's doing. But, like, let's say with, like, my newer artist, like, Fortunate, like, with mm-hmm. him, like, I found him at 2,000-3,000 followers, so I'm, like, more hands-on
mm-hmm.
with shaping, you know, his sound and what he should look like.
Mm-hmm. How far do you think that you can take being an A&R, you know, do you want to go that route to where you're an executive at a label? You know, like, you're running a label, you have your own production company.
Possibly, yeah, definitely.
And what about that? because, you know, you wanted to be an A&R for a long time. Mm-hmm, but did you ever want to be the head of your own label, you know, your own production company?
You know what? That came about, like, as I started to see the A&R, you know, living the A&R dream. And it's just like, yeah, definitely owning my own label is definitely, you know, something I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your life will change, or, you know, your roles will change? Or are you open to that change?
Definitely. It's a journey that I'm, you know, I'm hoping to embark on.
Yeah. So, I mean, how long have you been in this industry, right? Because you're 37. You said you got the internship when you were in college, right? Mm-hmm. So how long ago was that?
Man, internship started in like 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a job at Interscope until about 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like a lot of grind.
Yeah.
And grit.
Yeah.
Between all that.
How much has being an A&R, or, you know, just the industry, changed since then? Or, you know, and even since when, well, I guess you can't even speak about when you were a kid, but how much do you think has changed?
The biggest change from, like, even just me interning, like, you know, physical CDs were still being sold.
Yeah.
So it's just going from physical to digital has been, like, the biggest change.
Mm-hmm.
And just how artists are discovered.
Yeah.
And social media, how the major role social media plays in things these days.
You still discovering artists?
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
How do you go about that?
Man, social media, finding them myself, friends, like, you know, suggesting artists.
Mm-hmm.
And even email. I found a dope manager emailed me. And I was cleaning my emails out like at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And he sent me an MP3, not a link. And I like the artist. So trying to see what we could get done with that.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure plenty of artists that you've been behind might have some issues with the label or something like that. And, you know, like, you feel like that's a reflection of you? Or do they ever blame you for any issues they might have?
No, I never really deal with that.
Yeah. You know, over time, your creative relationships with artists, you know, naturally turn into friendships, I bet, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so absolutely. How do you address, like, negative situations that happen in an artist's life that, you know, might put them in hot water? And, you know, do you feel like you might be overstepping your boundaries if you do that, or do you do that at all? You know, like, do you address, you know, situations?
It just depends on, you know, what's presented. Like, I look at all of my artists like little brothers, little cousins or whatever. So if it's something that they present to me that I can help with and, you know, stir them out of, then I try to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do your artists look at you?
I would say like a older brother.
Yeah.
For the most part. Like, some of them call me for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they'll FaceTime me while they playing video games. Like, yo, what you doing? I'm like, working. Like, what's up? And I'm like, oh, I was just seeing what you was doing. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then other times it's for stuff. Like, oh, can I get studio? So.
How does that feel, though? You know, when they just call you for something that's just not music related, you know, because that's. It takes a lot of trust to just hit somebody up and expect them to pick up, you know, for something that's not transactional.
Right. I appreciate it, actually, because it makes the job easier.
Yeah.
Definitely makes the job easier.
Yeah. You know, how hard is it when an artist that you work with and you get close with gets dropped or... you know, signs with a new label?
So far, I've only had to deal with that once, and it was cool, you know. Certain things don't last forever. And just because we meet in the industry, like, ties don't have to, you know, sever, you know, just because one thing ended.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about your artist will say they'll go on and they'll go on a social media rant or something like that, or they'll go on IG Live and they'll start shitting on the label and I guess that kind of goes back to my last question, what do you say to that,
I typically just stay out of that.
Yeah.
They don't got no issue with me. I can't speak for other parts that don't have nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
So I just stay out of it.
Yeah.
That's just my personality overall. I just stay out of the business that don't pay me.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't got nothing to do with me,
mm-hmm.
I don't bother.
That's how you maintain good relationships with them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see, the sweater you're wearing right now, it says have a good day on purpose. And I see that's like a signature on your email as well. And, mm-hmm. That's your merch that you sell mm-hmm. on your website. What is the importance of that? Telling a person, it sounds so simple, but it's like, it's powerful. Like,
it definitely is. It was just some words that a homeless gentleman put on me one night. I was crossing the street and passing, I speak to everybody. So we passing, he's like, hey, how you doing, sir? And he's like, I'm good. And he's like, I'm good as well. And he's like, you have a good day on purpose. And I was just like, all right. And it just stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just really about, having intentions on having a good day. Like, you don't just have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, you got to be intentional about having a good day, whether something good or bad happens.
I mean, before that conversation with him, was that like a way you went through life?
Nah, it wasn't actually. I would have bad days and, let my bad days consume me. But literally, just after that simple interaction, it just really changed how I deal with things.
Mm-hmm. And, we talked about your career. You talked about how you got to where you are. Mm-hmm. But do you love what you do?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, I don't think many people are afforded the opportunity to live their dreams while they're awake.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't take it for granted that, something that I dreamed of as a kid that I'm actually doing.
Yeah. Average person definitely isn't doing a job that they like. They're really just doing a job that they need to have. Yeah, they got to have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Could you see yourself doing something else?
Not by choice, no.
Yeah.
Nah.
What do you mean?
Right now, at least.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, right now, A&R is the opportunity that I have.
So yeah.
I'm going to keep killing it till, it's not there no more.
Yeah. And, what are you working on now, closely with?
I'm very, very close to putting out a Destroy Lonely album that I don't know when this is going to air, so hopefully it's out by the time this comes out. Working on some new stuff with DaBaby. We recorded some pretty dope songs over the last 2 weeks. So those are two things that I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you, how do you accommodate, all of these artists, because it's mostly hip-hop artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody makes their own kind of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how are you able to be a chameleon in a sense in all these different studio sessions and all these different conversations?
I just try to make myself available. Like Rolling Loud weekend, I had 5 or 6 artists in town.
Yeah.
I don't know how I even scheduled or booked 5 or 6 studios for all of them, but I just pulled up on everybody for at least an hour.
Yeah.
Just so they seen my face. I got to hear what they were working on. So I just rotate an hour, I go kick it with one person for an hour, hit the next person,
Mm-hmm. Ever have people run into you you going to all these events, all these shows and stuff, and you ever have family and stuff, yo, let me get a ticket,
definitely.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Hell yeah, of course.
You make that happen for them?
Sometimes, if an extra ticket or two falls through,
yeah.
I try to make it happen.
Yeah. How often do you run into people? I'm sure your DMs is crazy. I rap, blah, blah, blah. Especially they see your bio because it's in your bio, your job title.
Yeah, my DMs are pretty crazy with upcoming artists and producers, songwriters. Like, I try to respond to everybody I can, but I'm only one person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get to who I can get to.
But are you listening to these links and stuff?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
It's your job.
I'm not above
yeah.
listening to links. And I don't have to be paid, so don't pay nobody. Don't pay no A&Rs.
Yeah.
It's our job. So, yeah, all that other stuff is just scammy. So, you know.
Mm. How do you avoid that, though? Because I'm sure there's been times where people will DM you and say, yo, I pay you such and such to do such and such. And it's like, yo, I have a job already. You know, I get paid for this.
Yeah, I just try to stay away from that. Like,
yeah.
Send me the song. If I like it,
mm-hmm.
we'll talk. If not, work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, I don't got to be paid to listen to nothing.
Yeah. And I think that... I mean, that's a good practice, though, for everybody out there, because, you know, for all the aspiring A&Rs, because it will probably taint your perception of the music if you're getting paid, you know, because if you're getting paid, you don't even care about if you like the music or not, or if you think the music's going to be successful or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the most fulfilling aspect of being an A&R?
Getting to see artists, you know, fulfill their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So putting out a dope project, first hit song, like,
yeah,
that's one of the perks.
Seeing them buy a car and
mm-hmm.
buy exactly. a house and
mm-hmm.
buy nice things and you know,
exactly.
yeah, go on
exactly.
trips, do things for their family. Yep.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do artists ever thank you or you know give you gifts for?
I haven't got any gifts yet, but, you know, if any of y'all watching this want to give me something, you know what I'm saying, do not hesitate. But nah.
Yeah.
But definitely have been thanked, though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just making sure things get done and, you know, just being a part of the process.
Yeah.
I have been thanked, yeah, for sure.
You know, you said something about, you know, the more technical parts of the job. You thought it was just going to be you finding talent, but... You know, you got to do paperwork and you got to make sure that deadlines are reached.
Mm-hmm.
What about when those things don't happen? Like, what happens when, you know, you don't reach a deadline and, you know, who do you have to speak to? You know, who do you have to respond to? What are the consequences?
Fortunately, I don't know that yet because
yeah.
I always make my deadline. So, I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Yeah. Anything can happen, though.
We'll have to find out. That's one thing I can say. On the A&R and all my projects, I make my deadline.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
What advice do you have for the aspiring A&Rs or just aspiring music business professionals?
Be persistent. Know what you want. Add value. Like, don't just reach out to people. Seeing what they can do for you, see how you can help them out. You know, I feel like that's a good way to start a rapport with somebody that you don't know, is to add value and try to help them with something they need to handle
mm-hmm.
so they can help you.
And what's next for Brandon Brown?
I don't know. I don't know yet. Just putting stuff out. Just working.
Mm-hmm.
Just working.
Yeah. Any artists you have your eye on right now?
I do, but I'm going to keep that on the low
yeah.
until it's time to, you know, talk yeah. about that or, you know,
yeah,
post about them.
Yeah. I had another question that about the music and the music making process. You know, I wanted to know, as far as the creative process goes, what about, like, when it comes to things like, you know, album artwork or... you know, it's picking beats. That's a part of your mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's more of my lane, yeah. Like
yeah.
Artwork is, like, you know, on the artist and the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or even, like, things like directing videos or, you know, ideas for videos. Is that something that you are a part of as well?
Not directly, but, you know, if my opinion get asked, I'll throw it in the hat.
Yeah. And, you know, this podcast is named Words Matter Pod. Brandon, you're an A&R. You work with musical artists. You work with rappers. You work with singers. You know, two jobs where words are very important and getting messages across. So my question for you is, my last question for you is, why do words matter to you?
Words matter to me because they're powerful, you know. A good set of words can, you know, have a positive effect on how you feel about yourself. A bad set of words can, you know, have a negative impact on how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think we should definitely be careful with our words.
And, you know, I'm sure that's important to you because, you know, your message is have a good day on purpose.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, Brandon Brown, Vice President of A&R Interscope Records. Thank you for allowing me to interview you here at Creative Sounds Recording in L.A. Looking forward to all the music that you will be a part of in the future. Actually, you know, so far, I want you to talk about, like, or list what you've been a part of thus far. You know, you don't have to name everything, but just so people know, so they could check that out.
For like albums?
Albums and stuff, yeah.
I've been a part of all of Juice WRLD's album as a coordinator and the A&R in the last two that came out, Fighting Demons and Legends Never Die.
Rest in peace to Juice WRLD.
Definitely rest in peace to Juice. Whole Lotta Red with Playboi Carti. Ken Carson X. Destroy Lonely's last mixtape, Pierre Bourne's Good Movie, and T-Lot 5, definitely proud of that. He got his first single, his first gold single as an artist on T-Lot 5, very proud of that for him. Aaron Ray's last album.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm leaving somebody out. I just don't think off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, that's all good. But yeah, man, thank you. Thank you once again. And words matter.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
All right. And yeah, you could put your socials out there. Tell everybody, you know, where you at on socials so more people could bombard your DMs with with links.
On Instagram, you can reach me at Hop, H-O-P-P. And on Twitter, at Hop, H-O-P-P, Brown with two N's.
All right, cool. Words matter.